Your sins are still upon you. You have no access to God. I am saying this now. It is Bible revelation. You have no access to God if your sins have not been repeated. That's why somebody can stand and say, he's anointed a man of God, and cannot see in this scripture that without holiness, no one can see God. And cannot see scriptural holiness, and can stand and tell the church, it doesn't matter, you can dress anyhow you like and come. God is a good God. It's evident he is blind. It's not everyone that says in the entire message that is actually restored. It is easier to be a pastor in the entire message than to be a pastor in the denomination. When you go to a church where naked women, they are even celebrated, given special seat, given special recognition. That means that church has no covering. And our covering is the word of God. Now I want to conclude that useless man, Samson. Oh, how are the mighty falling? Somebody shout, Samson. Let brother, look at Samson. Look at your brother and shout, Samson. Sisters, look at the brothers and shout, Samson. Sisters, look at brothers and shout, Samson. Brothers, what will you say? Samson and Delilah. I tried the much I could during the vigil so that I could end this, but I just couldn't. And I'm not going back. So you get the message. I took a long time during the vigil to look at that character there. That through that character, we are able to understand the condition of the church today. How he fell in the hands of that woman that discovered the source, the secret of his power, removed it, and Samson became an ordinary person, letting us know the condition of the church today. Samson is a type of the church, and the secret of the strength of the church, the strength of the church, that is what we are looking at. And this should be the final part. If I can finish in 30 minutes. If I don't finish it, I don't finish. God will let you understand the rest. We don't talk too long for this matter. Praise the Lord. And how now the church, a type of Samson, also the devil, the enemy also, discovered the strength of the church. Remove that secret. Remove the strength, the power, the thing that gives strength to the church. Removed it, and the church, like Samson, has fallen and crashed. The thing that Samson was raised up to destroy ended up destroying Samson. The thing that the church is raised up to destroy has ended up destroying the church. Because Samson was flirting with a Delilah. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. When you take the three measures of meal that the church is supposed to feed by, you allow a woman to take leaven and mix it up and corrupted it, what does it result? It results in the estate that we are in today. A weak group of people. People that should be the strongest people on earth. Christians. Christ was not defeated, but his church has faced the defeat. And so we looked at it, the hair was removed, and what it signified. And then, where I reached on Friday night, is that in verse 21 of Judges chapter 16, you will notice that after the Philistines the hair of Samson, took away the power. The next thing, The next thing they went after, the first thing they went after, what did they go after? The eyes. They plucked off his eyes. I told you why God made sure that the number two is a number to balance. The amount of two or three, two, one witness cannot stand. There must be at least two witnesses. That is why he gave us to balance two legs, two hands, two nostrils, two ears, two eyes. The woman, two breaths. Praise the Lord. There's a reason. And when he too wanted to give us his word, he had two covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. And don't say you have done away with one. You don't need it. No. You need one to be able to balance with the other. If not, you will never be a balanced Christian. And so, when we see Samson's eyes being removed, it's telling you an estate where that man that was so powerful now became so blind. Can he see anything around him again? No. The first thing, that is, you know, what the devil has always been after. Revelation. No more revelation. It is an estate of a fallen church. No more revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The church became blinded to any other move of God. So blinded until a ministry that God did, using in this age to restore us through the ministry of William Branham, they cannot see it. I'm even going too far. There are more dead churches now than has ever been known before. There are churches that don't believe in gifts. He had a pastor that was preaching. I heard it from Cooking Church. No, ERCC. In Akwanga. And his title is very reverend. He's very reverend somebody. What was he saying? That they should, telling his people they should stop going to the Pentecostal churches. That they say, they come and say they can heal. Why are they not going to hospitals? Can't they see sick people inside hospital? He's saying that there's nothing like healing. A very reverend, very, very reverend. And to be a very reverend, you have passed from ordinary pastor to senior pastor to regional pastor, then to reverend, then very reverend. Praise the Lord. And the color of their dress when they are sitting at the altar is different from the color of ordinary reverence. I'm not trying to tell you the estate of the blind church that we are in today. It's worse even in the entire message. There are entire message churches that will not allow gifts to flow. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. But that's not where I am going. I'm looking at the church generally because we are looking at the condition of the church of Jesus Christ. Typed by that story of Samson. No more revelation. And when there is no revelation, what will happen? The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. When there is no revelation from God, what will happen? Then they will have to use human ideas to rule the church. Somebody is opening the Bible to show a Jew water baptism is in the name of Jesus. He said, no, no, there is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why? The eyes have been plucked off. Delilah has cut him, bound him. I read on Friday. Revelation chapter 3. The commentary concerning this Laodicean church age. They say they are rich. And they have need of nothing. They have all things. But knoweth not, God is seeing them, that you are miserable. You are poor. You are wretched. You are blind. And you don't know it. They are blind. Why? No revelation. If you can see, why can't you see simple revelation of the Godhead and water baptism? And because they don't have such revelation, scriptural revelation, therefore, they don't also know scriptural holiness. That's why somebody can stand and say, he's anointed a man of God, and cannot see in this scripture that without holiness, no one can see God. And cannot see scriptural holiness, and can stand and tell the church, it doesn't matter, you can dress anyhow you like and come, God is a good God. It's evident he is blind. He's blind. When the Bible says, where there is no vision, it says, the people perish. The vision there, it's not the type of vision like Oguajo just saw for this man from Abuja. That is not the kind of vision. What he's saying is, where there is no heavenly focus, the people perish. That's the meaning of that statement. Abraham had a vision of a city. God showed him a city, and it was a heavenly city. And the beauty of that city, he said, it had foundation that he was sure the architect, the builder, not the human being, that type of city was not existing on earth. And God said, that is where I am taking you to. He had a vision. Therefore, it reflected in the kind of life he was living on earth. As rich as he had, he was living in tents. Why? The Bible says he considered himself a pilgrim, traveling from earth here, from where he was to that city. Where that city is located, he doesn't know, but he saw it. He saw it, and he wants to be there. Praise God. Apostle Paul had that same vision. Jesus gave his disciples those same vision. Believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He was giving them a vision. If it were not so, I will tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you will also be. I'll come and collect you and go there. So those disciples, they were so minded of that vision Christ gave them, that everything earthly became secondary. Apostle Paul also had that vision. Until he said, eye has not seen, neither has entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love his appearing. He had a vision. That was what determined his kind of faith. He was ready to suffer any reproach. At the end of it all, no matter where he went through, he said, what can separate me from the love of God? Because he saw something. And even us as individuals, when there is no vision, when there is nothing you are working to achieve in your Christian life, you will perish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The two eyes were removed, uprooted. He became blind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why now, teach for commandment, doctrines of men. My people are destroyed. For what? For lack of knowledge. Something you should know. The truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that you understand why Proverbs chapter 4 kept emphasizing about knowledge. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. The principal thing. Hallelujah. He said wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom. 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 After the angel revealed to Daniel what the end of what will happen to his people, the Jews, in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel asked him, when shall this be? How long will this last? Praise the Lord. He just told him, say, seal up those things, Daniel, until the appointed time. Praise God. This is the way he put it, Daniel chapter 12. Let's open it. It's very interesting to see the love of God. When we talk about the restoration ministry, people don't know why we feel very special. We feel the most privileged group of people. Every one of us, that God by his grace caused us to see this ministry of restoration. That God brought through the ministry of that late prophet, William Marion Braham. Don't know. Every day, I continue to thank God. I sometimes ask him, what did I do that made you to love me to this extent? Because with the grace of God upon me, I know which angle, how which area I will have gone. I will have gone worse than what the denominations are doing. I will have packaged myself well. Because now it is branding. Christianity now is branding. Brand yourself very well, even though nobody will recognize you. So one church wants to have something others don't have. One program others don't have. You have to brand. You have to brand yourself. It is part of branding that is making them acquire all manner of titles. Since everybody is bearing G-O, General Overseer, another one decided to take a different brand, Superintendent. General Superintendent. It is branding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Since everybody is bearing bishop, another one branded their own prelate. It's branding. I don't know what I will have branded myself, Thomas. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian. Christians face trials. The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If we don't have any other thing, everybody, Bishop Abi, one say is the presiding bishop. That is, he is president bishop, somebody. He's a presiding bishop. Others, you are bishop, but I am presiding bishop. It's branding. If I didn't come across William Branham teaching, I would not have known that there is a scripture that forbids that nonsense. Matthew 23 forbids it. Jesus himself forbade it. You don't do that. Be humble. Stay with the scripture. God is the advertiser of his programs. He is the advertiser of his own programs, of his own move. And when the time for him to take the corner, he is the one that knows what to do. To make everybody know that I am here now. But where there is no vision, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Daniel chapter 12. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. The next statement, everybody, shall we go? But the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, as the angel was about to give the identification of who the Antichrist is, he said, here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Praise the Lord. Because only the wise shall understand. And when Christ was born, it was wise men from the east that understood that a great thing had happened on earth. Only the wise. Only the wise. Why? Because what makes you wise and not foolish is that you are not a follow. What makes you wise is that you are busy studying. What makes you wise is that from studying, you are in expectation of something the scripture says will happen. That's what makes us wise. We are not follow. We are not religious people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, there is a wisdom that we can also use now to understand the condition of the church. And I'm not saying this to castigate any ministry. I am saying this for the true elect of God all over the world, that God has caused us to come together through this ministry to take a stand from an understanding. It's not every Christian that is of Christ. It's not every church that is of Christ. It's not every minister that is a minister from Christ. It's not every pastor that is called to lead people to heaven. And this is thus said the Lord, with the opening of the seals in 1963, the Antichrist has been revealed. The bride cannot have that knowledge and still be yoked with a system created, sponsored, inspired, anointed, funded by the Antichrist. We know better. We know better. Now, listen. They have asked me several times, people, okay, so how will I identify a true church? Yes, I have preached a message that I titled the identification of a true church. You can get it and listen to it. But I want to just show you a simple one using Samson. William Branham made a statement. He said, if you go to any church and you want to know the spiritual estate of that church, what did he say you should do? He said, look at the women. So I'm teaching you now how to identify the true church. Brother Abraham said, if you want to know the spiritual estate of a church, amen, any church you visit, and by inference also, that lets you take a look at the church in general, the Christian world, so that it will help you know the estate of the Church of Jesus Christ. But start with the local assembly. Any church you go, whether they are carrying William Branham's sermon books plus his picture everywhere, they paste them for their mouth until they know they read Bible again and sermon book only, including them. It's not everyone that says in the entire message that is actually restored. It is easier to be a pastor in the entire message than to be a pastor in the denomination. So you better know that. Because once you can read and write and say, Brother Abraham, say, Brother Abraham, say, that's all now. Become a classroom teacher. They teach the people. They bring the textbook. And they read to the people. That's very easy. Now, if you go to school, you can become pastor in the entire message by their standard. So therefore, it's not enough that they are holding sermon book. He said, Look at the women. When you enter that church, take a look at the women. When you look, what do you see for you to know their estate? Because a woman types the church. The church, that's why we call ourselves the bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. First and foremost, so we'll just concentrate on the woman for some few minutes. Let's even look at it. After, when the church was restored, justification in the Reformation, after the 1,000 years that the Protestant movement, and that produced a Protestant movement through Martin Luther, with the doctrine of justification, the Lutherans, they broke with that move. After that, we have John Wesley, that came with the doctrine of holiness. Throughout that period, no church. I say, no church. No woman, even wedding ring, they will not allow it. Holiness. Now, suddenly something began to happen. The Pentecostal move took over. And suddenly, the earrings came back to the ears of Christian women in the church. So if you are going to look at that, and a woman types a church, women wearing earrings, then go back to the Bible, because by the time that these earrings came back to the ears of Christian women in the church, that was the period that God answered the prayers of the Pentecostals. When they began to sing, Lord, send another Elijah to pray that power down. They were singing that song. God, send Elijah with the ministry of restoration through the ministry of William Branham. And that was the time they turned down the opportunity that God gave the children of God to come out of the denominational antichrist system. And you look at Exodus chapter 21. 6 years you can hold a Hebrew slave. But after the 6 years, it is a year of jubilee. If that person hear that message, come out of your bondage. Then he say, I love my denominational master. I will not go. What will happen? They will bring you, according to Exodus chapter 21, if you are hearing me for the first time, they will bring you and announce to everybody, I say, may this one go. He no gree go. He say, he like me. You are my witnesses. They say, yes. They will bring him to the doorpost and put hole in his ear. And put a ring there. And forever, you remain a slave. No more freedom. So in Israel, anybody, man or woman, that you see with earring, who do you say is that person? Who is the person? It's not just slave. A slave that refused freedom. A slave. So, when you begin to see all the churches that they wear earring, you go to any church and they are promoting and say it doesn't matter, you should wear your ring. They are the ones that God offer freedom. Spiritual liberty. Come out of the bondage of the denominational antichrist system. And they say, lie, we are not going. They are the ones that they have turned down the grace, the message for their day. Catch it very well. And in that setting, everything we speak here, they are against it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say you are just talking. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says so. He said that because they have no love for truth, but have pleasure in righteousness, He, God, will give them over to a delusion to make them believe a lie. So that in believing that lie, they will be destroyed. So God himself now, in the Old Testament, Exodus 21, he put a ring in your ear. But in the New Testament, it is spiritual. He does something that causes you to believe a lie. This is lie, but you are believing that it is true. And it is God himself doing it. Why? You refuse freedom, Abi, then continue to believe the lie. He, God, will do something to your ear. You'll be hearing lie and be saying, not true. So that in believing that lie, you'll be destroyed. I show you a mystery. The wise shall understand. That is the wisdom that God has given us to know where we are today. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden, women dress nakedly to go to church. Dress anyhow to go to church. All of a sudden, they dress well to go to their offices. But on Sunday, they choose half naked dresses. Expose their laps. Expose their breasts. And it's no mistake. Now tell her, so I'm for them. They tell her measure. They tell her where you go cut rich. I have never seen a dress that a woman wear. And I say, oh, tell her make mistake. Now lie. If tell her make mistake for woman dress, he go fight her. He ready to stay there until he adjust them to where he want them. Nothing. If you see your wife, they vex. Why you dress like this? This tailor, now lie. Now you in the deceive. I say you want her. If you don't want her, you don't go wear them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The one where they pay me pass. I saw one of them. When will they dance? He danced from the congregation reach here. I see her like this. I shake my head. I know if you sing again. Now I say, Jesus, but take over. First and foremost, the dress where you wear is above your knee. Then, you wear one kind of high heel. Instead of it to hide the dance there, he come out, make I for see him. Then he do like this. Now me, they shake for. You don't see young boys to shake. Now me, they shake for. I am 55 years old. What did they find from me? Oh, okay, not be me. Okay. Oh, she came here. So maybe now. Maybe the person where they target not here is there. Say shame, you're coming to church and you want me to teach a church like this. You're wearing high heel. High heel. When I say high heel, I mean high heel. I say high heel. See, it's an enhanced height. Because shoe factory, they know they do that kind of thing again. You know they sell. You know they sell again. The kind of shoe where women they wear now, you know they sell. Then to see somebody that is still wearing that type of thing. Then talk. And do you know what? This sister, I look at her well, she's tall. She's not a short woman. If it's a short woman, we can pity her because maybe she doesn't like her height. Now that's even understanding. If you pity her, though as wrong as it is, you know, because at the end of it all, you will still come down from that shoe and still retain your normal size. So what has it profited you now? Praise God. Praise the Lord. When I saw that person dancing somewhere around here, I cut off. I didn't know the next song to sing again. The inspiration cut off. I was trying to search. I didn't even know which song I did sing, sir. I was so angry. I had to say, Chizoba, I sing. I said, Abek, continue to sing. Na woman, kosa. Brothers, what do you say? Who is the person? Delilah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They dress nakedly to come to church. Naked. Where are you going? We are going before the Holy of Holies. The great eternal spirit that cannot be easily approached. That dwelleth in a light that cannot be approached. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that existed by himself, he answered it to no one. The one that owns the last breath, he can do and undo. You are coming before his presence that dwelleth in reverence. His name is Reverend. And then you are dressing as if you are going to your boyfriend's house. And then you are dressing as if you are going to a nightclub. You respect your guy in the office more than him. You respect the governor of your state, the chairman of your local government that you go to meet, you dress very well. You respect him more than God. You know who you are. You know who you are. You know who you are. Praise the Lord. They have become naked. And that is why you see, in Revelation chapter 3 verse 18, he said, you are naked and knoweth it not. When you see like that, that is, that church has no covering. When you go to a church where naked women, they are even celebrated, given special seat, given special recognition, that means that church has no covering. And our covering is the word of God. Our covering is the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm still looking at women. When you begin to see, all of a sudden these things began to come to the church. Began to come to the church. Before you know what, women began to wear trousers to church. Begin to wear men's clothing to church. What were they saying? Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are saying that man and woman, gender equality, we are equal. What it is actually speaking of spiritually is that they say they are no more under man. The church has rejected the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and now she's equal with her husband, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, you see why they bear those titles as general overseer, reverend. There are some of them that are even called lords. His lordship, pastor. I'm not talking about church. That's their profession, church. I'm talking of Christianity. His lordship, his holiness, his grace, his preeminence. A man is bearing that title. His preeminence. When you go to a church where you see women dressed like men, it is telling you the spiritual estate of that church. They have rejected Jesus Christ as their head. And I claim equality with him. William Bryan is the one that gave me this key. He said, if you want to know the estate of any church, spiritual estate, when you go to that church, look at the women. Now, Samson's hair, that is our emphasis. It's her glory. The hair of a woman, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, the hair is her glory. Was the hair not the glory of Samson? When you remove that hair, was there any glory again? What was he known for? Was he known for power? A short man like Samson, the only thing that gave him glory was the power he had. And that was on the hair. As he removed the normal power, the only glory we have, church, is the word of God. It's the word of God. You refuse the leadership of the word of God, you are finished. You are nothing. You are nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's look at it. Something that is supposed to be the glory of a woman. Suddenly, in that church, women are now cutting their hair. It's a fashion. It's a fashion. Hallelujah. And suddenly, and they didn't know that what they are actually telling spiritual people is that the glory has departed. And William Branham said, gave that prophecy. Ichabod is written against the Pentecostal denomination. The glory has departed. What's the evidence? They cannot understand the Bible anymore. They have replaced the word of God with the word of men. Eloquent motivational speakers have taken over the positions of God called shepherds, pastors. The glory has departed. When you begin to see Christian women sit down in the church comfortably with palm hair, using chemical to spoil the natural texture of the hair, when you begin to see the hair of a woman, Christian woman, my problem is Christianity, because these are things that we are in the world, and when we are raised up to show a difference, separated from such things, but it has crept into the church, and we are wondering what is happening. It is a message to the wise to understand the state that we are in now. The wise shall understand. Praise the Lord. It's God announcing. See what is happening now? All he's saying is the word of God has been corrupted. The word of God, unadulterated word of God, is no more there. The word that you see there is the adulterated word. Adulterated with man's ideas and intellectualism, intellectual interpretation. Nothing more than that. You see a woman relaxing her hair, is telling you that the bar of the holiness in that church has been lowered, has been relaxed. The standard of God for salvation has been removed and relaxed. You can come. You will hear it say, come the way you are. Come the way you are. Come the way you are. If you enter that church, come the way you are. Come the way you are. Look at the women here. There, you see all of them. All of them, their hair don't relax. All of them, you see them like their hair like a rat coming out of the sewage system. So look at all of them. The wise shall understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see the hair of a Christian woman with attachment. See the difference between the bride and the denomination. Listen, church. Listen. This God is a wonderful God. I'm telling you. Before he judges anybody, he will give you opportunity to repent. Very merciful. But where I am going is that, church, listen. The way God deals with the denomination is different from the way he, God, deals with the bride. Watch it. Many of you here, you came to this ministry, those of you watching us through our broadcast, you heard me open the Bible and show you how a woman should dress. You saw it in the scripture, you believed it. No matter how I open Bible to show the denominational people, they will never, never, ever believe. So God had to raise Linda for them. That is the reason God gave them Linda. I have heard that, I read it in the paper, that even now, redeem now, they are fighting all these attachments and all these trouser wearing. I heard that even winners, they are fighting this attachment and trouser wearing. I heard it. They are beginning with the workers. They say, you cannot be a worker and dress like that. Would you clap her for Linda? Is there anything Linda said that we have not spoken? Is there anything Linda said that is not in the Bible? Your eye is so blind that you cannot see it in the Bible until God raises a woman somewhere. From Sierra Leone. And if he has used a man, nobody will listen. So he used a woman too to talk to the women. I I believe God sent Linda to the denominations. And everywhere they are shaking. Hey, did you see this? Hey, did you see this? And me, I'm wondering, what is Linda saying that is not in the Bible? Why are you shaking? So this one with the talk, we're not hear them. Even brother assembly members. Hey, some of you stop for me only after you heard Linda. And some, even with Linda. They'll still tell you, well, it's in the heart. My own, that's Linda talking her own. My own is in the heart. I know my relationship with my God. I know my relationship with our God. We too, we know your relationship with your God. And we know who your God is. Yes, your God is the God of this evil world. That's what the Bible calls him. I'm sorry. My time don't go far, but I must talk. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says, naturally, God gave a woman a hair for a covering. Praise the Lord. Gave the hair for a covering. Gave the hair for a covering. And I always say, if you go to any church, and Apostle Paul gave instruction that a woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, dishonoring her head. There is something about the hair of a woman that needs a covering. He said it is demonstrating your subjection to rulership of man. Hallelujah. If the hair is the covering, the glory of a woman, we can spiritualize it very well. Apostle Paul said, "You should, when we come, it's when we come together like this, so, as a church, in service. Enter message, pastors, they don't fight me, tire. This is one of the very, very few, I don't think we reach 3 in Nigeria, and all over the world. I don't know any that covers their hair. You go to enter message or you are from this church. When you enter there, that's the first thing you will ask. I hope this is true to an enter message church because of how you were brought up here. They fought me when I started my where I was. All the 4 churches that I attended before this one started, none of them cover hair. And they are wondering why. When our own started, I told them, I said, in those churches, I never bothered to open the Bible. In fact, I never went into any controversial areas of the gospel. I was busy with my own salvation. So the one who don't concern me, I don't bother. Whether a woman cover her or not cover her, I never bothered to look at what the Bible says. But now I became pastor. Then before you know what? Some will come with their hair covered, depending on where you come from. Some will come. And then one day, somebody, a brother came from the congregation. He said, what is your stand concerning hair? That was when I said, hair, Abi. He said, not true. I have never looked at that area. I said, give me some time. I did not call any old pastor to ask him. I went to the Bible. What did the Bible teach concerning hair? Apostle Paul, hallelujah, he said in verse 15, he said that the hair is given to the woman for a covering. And that is the scripture all Pentecostals use. That it is the hair, not the scalp. But when I read the Bible, I say, if the hair is given for a covering, and it's supposed to be natural, why will it be an ordinance again when we come together? It's Apostle Paul saying, when we come together, grow long hair. That was where my thought began. I began to search this commentaries, and I discovered that the word over there is veil. All the commentaries, all the versions, all, it is veil. He also said, the man, when you come together like this, a man praying or prophesying with his head veiled. You don't veil. Praise the Lord. He said, you dishonor your head. Why? You are a representation of him. Here. And that is the only scripture. And there is no church that you ever see the men sitting there with cap on their head. Where is the scripture? It's the same scripture. Why are you saying, leaving the women like that? And then not allowing the men, you know, to put on cap. Anywhere a man that is a Christian is, including those pastors that don't allow women to veil. Anywhere, if it's a boss, he wear cap. He said, let us pray. The first thing he does, he will remove the cap in Jesus' name. He will do it. And that's the only scripture. And when I looked at it, I discovered that when we come together like this, you should veil the head. That's why in this church, as you come from your house, carry scarf. While you enter here, cover your hair. As you leave here, remove the scarf, because the hair is part of your beauty. Beautify your hair. Allow your hair grow. Treat it very well. Let it look beautiful. Don't say you're a Christian and then, therefore, your hair will smell because you cover it from morning to night. It's wrong. Praise the Lord. The hair needs oxygen. You must put better cream there to retain the natural texture. And if you are going to do anything to that hair, let it be for a reason that God himself understands. If it is to help you dress the hair very well, you do it, then God understands. But if you are doing it because you want to go the way of fashion, then God will judge you after hearing what we preach here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But let's come to the spiritual implication. Why would the Holy Ghost give such an instruction? The glory of a church is the word. When he said veil the hair, he's also saying protect the word. We are the women, don't cover the glory like that, veil like that. That ministry does not protect the word. And that is the ministry that every type of doctrine can come in. They are the ones that their pulpits are open to anybody. I have seen enter message churches that another pastor from outside will come and scatter the church. They will come with another wind of doctrine. It is now John. William Branham has gone. Now I am the one. And they will come with that doctrine. Why? Because the word is not protected. They can't try that here. Anybody that stands at this pulpit and preaches any wrong thing, before you go, I don't call a microphone. Excuse me, what did you say? There's an anointing here that protects the word. Protects the word. We had a meeting, 5 pastors yesterday, to handle a matter. A pastor had marriage, an issue of marriage in his church, an enter message pastor. He came to meet us. And I said, oh, let the other pastors join us. A marriage issue between a brother, around the brother in his church. And he wants to take a decision whether he should wed them or not. Whether he should just bless them or they should come for proper wedding, the normal wedding ceremony. What did we use to give the solution, brother? The word. When we opened the Bible, we showed him. The guy said, it's okay. I don't see him. It is the word. Another brother again from abroad, Europe. We had a meeting concerning his own. A decision he wants to also take. We looked at it. This one brought this one. At the end of it all, it was the word. By the time we read it from the word, all of us, what happened? Contrary to what we all thought should be the case. When that scripture was quickened to me and I said, come, open this scripture. Let's look at it again. We saw where his case fell. Finality. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The word of God is protected here. That's why you cannot enter this compound with trousers, sister. That's why we cannot allow you to enter our auditorium with a ring. And then, they are quick to tell you. Allow them come now so that they will hear the word. And then when they hear it, then they will change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some pastors, because they are looking for members. And maybe you say that it is because we are many. That's why I don't. Are we many? Are we many? What is the population of Lagos alone? 20 million people. How many thousand is it down here? You say we are many. Where all the rest? Where are they? You say we are many. Did we say we are not looking for members? We are looking for members. But you must be member. Praise the Lord. And now quickly lead me. A brother was worried and asked me. He said, how long am I going to hang the symbols of our faith on this altar? So I told him, I said, as long as that remains our faith, it will hang there. And to him, maybe your brother is here now. I had to call you. I don't know who you are, but we spoke. And he has been in this church for the past 6 years, according to him. He said, because of new people who are coming, they will not know it. Because it's hanging at the altar, and people come to the altar to bow. Did we tell anybody that you must come and bow here? I told him, I said, which altar? You are here for 6 years. You don't know what altar is. That's a place dedicated for prayer. That's all. And it must not be here. The altar, the true altar is in your heart. We've gone beyond that. But more importantly, where I am going is, I remember that because of this earring issue. Why did we hang that there? So that when you enter here, you will know who we are. I want to believe. It is hanging there to provoke you to ask questions. Which one be this one will hang for altar? Symbol of our faith. I saw eagle. What does that mean? Then I will take him to Revelation chapter 4. The four beasts that are there. And I begin to preach the message to that person. Every one of you church members here, if you cannot explain what that ego represents in this age, you are only an escort of some. In fact, you are best man to chief bridesmaid. Escorting the bride to go home. And know nothing about the bridegroom. And yet you call yourself bride. You don't know what that cloud signifies. We even put date there. February 28, 1963. Somebody coming for the first time should ask the question. And somebody during question and answer has asked. And I took time to explain to him. And from that day, that person believed the message. It is not there for us to bow. We don't bow to any image. We are more revelated than to bow to any image. Praise the Lord. We don't bow to any image. That's idolatry. But that thing hanging there is a message that these three things symbolize something very important. The symbols of our faith. It is not only these three, in between them. Can't you see a fountain flowing? At the altar here, the word of life is released. Praise the Lord. It's not idolatry. Try to understand what we are doing here. And the same thing too, when you come here and we say, remove your earring. The first thing now, we have started preaching to you. You know they wear earring for here. Then she should ask, why do you remove earring? Then the message begins. And if because of earring, he said you're not going to enter that church, she is like, Leah and Rachel. Rachel! He's like Rachel that left with Jacob and still took her father's idols. Cling to it, no matter what. Lie, they can't drop that earring. Because of it, you won't enter a church. And I always say, it also speaks of the kind of spirit such people have. If you are going to somebody's house and at the door, you see, say that they remove shoe. Not only leg, then they enter and shoe, they grab. A normal person will remove your own shoe too. You don't even wait for them to tell you remove shoe. It's normal. You are coming to a church. You are not a member of that church. They invited you. And they said, this is how they do it here. And you want to dictate that, no, I will enter by my own terms. You know that person has a psychiatric case. What you are supposed to do? Say, hey, they know they wear earring. Make a come out. After some, say, can I wear it now? And they say, wear and go. But that afforded the opportunity to tell the person, this is why we don't wear earrings. So we'll continue to do it. I know a lot of people have problem with us in this church. A brother had a lengthy discussion with me. One of the things, he's here now, I believe, or he's hearing me now, is that his problem is that we stay too long. He has come to advise me so that we will cut the time and close early. Praise God. I say, I understand. So because, you know, you invite somebody to come, you know, and he may be busy, he wants to go somewhere, then you invite him to come, and then, you know, then he wait. I say, no, this is not Reverend King's church. Once you fill your time, you have something else to do, stand up and go. Nobody will stop you. We didn't say you must stay here until we close. Did I say so? Even now, if you are tired, you can go. We want to even increase the time now. Don't come here, you hear? Because of time. Don't come. I should rush so that you go and sit at home and watch football. I should rush so that you go and sit at home and watch a movie. I should rush so that you go and visit your boyfriend. You want to go to picnic. You want to go to, today is Sunday now. Let's have some time in the beach now. That's why you want to go. I force you, if you are tired, see, I told the brother, from the women's side, one offering box there. From the men's side, one offering box there. When you are tired, you want to go, we never take offering. Please, coordinator will show you where offering box there for back. Drop the offering there and go. Praise the Lord. Which place is better to be than in the presence of God? Of course, if I am wasting your time, it's understandable. But in private assembly, there is no dull moment. I stopped and they wanted to prophesy. I stopped and said, me say, I want to prophesy. I think John, if they disturb me, since say, you get a message. I said, me, I want to prophesy. Now I begin to prophesy. So am I not prophesying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in a nutshell, everything you see done to the woman's hair, go to Samson. He is speaking about the condition of the church. That is why in this age, William Branham never explained it like this. It is me that got this more understanding. from what a statement he made. But I do know that when Abraham emphasized so much, women, don't wear a ring. Don't put on those jewelries. Don't cut your hair. Don't pervert your hair. Dress very well. He kept saying, he said, the Holy Ghost say that I should talk, say the Lord to my daughters. You don't dress like that. They can dress like that, but you cannot dress like that. He was hammering it so much until he stopped one day and said, does he look like one who hates women? He said, if he hates, he has a wife and he loves her. He does not hate women. But it was the Spirit that kept telling him to tell them. But he never went this way to let us know. Until the Holy Ghost caused me to know this aspect. This is the reason why the Holy Ghost has been saying that. It is speaking about the condition of the church. Samson's hair. Destroyed by Delilah. False doctrines. Praise the Lord. Let the word in your hair grow. Don't cut it. Sister, don't cut your hair. Because the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When you cut your hair, you are saying that you don't allow the word of God. It's not even you are saying, you are only confirming what is happening in that atmosphere you belong. That is the mystery. And that was going on in the church. Hallelujah. And suddenly, the Bible says, they took Samson to prison. And they particularly said he was grinding. In his blindness, he was grinding. In his blindness, he was grinding. And while he was inside the prison, there are small time they'll bring him and make a caricature of him. They'll bring him to the stadium. He'll be making sport. The Bible calls it sport. See this useless man. They wanted to useless him before killing him. But nobody can defeat the purpose of God. He said, I will build my church upon this rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Don't you ever think that the devil can defeat the purpose of God. He can achieve what he wants to achieve. It will be temporarily. Because suddenly, Samson's hair began to grow again. Hey. Samson's hair began to grow again. Oh. We shall continue from that hair growing next time. Hey, I will tell you the meaning of that hair growing again. Praise the Lord. This message, no one finished. Hallelujah. We shall continue with that hair growing. The hair grew back. The hair grew back. And the Bible says, Samson in that instance, he destroyed more Philistines when he was dying than when he was alive with those others. I will tell you the meaning of it. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah.
chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself